Just play if you would, Brother Todd. I'm not sure if I'm preaching this morning or not. I've just seen God move. We take it so lightly. Two Sunday nights ago, we sat in the prayer room at 5:30. And Brother B.J. Bearden has always had such a burden for his co-workers. And it's just about every week he asks prayer for somebody who has cancer, somebody who's sick, somebody whose child is sick. He keeps up with what's going on in their lives. A couple of weeks ago, he said, there's a man I work with named Tyler. I'm trying to get him to come to church, and I don't think he's saved. Tyler came. And Tyler got saved. God answered my prayer. Some of y'all just are spoiled rotten. That you expect God to do everything. And you fail to thank Him when He does. Go ahead, BJ, help yourself, brother. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Tyler, it was just a few years ago. We did a skit here on Halloween, and we advertised that thing, Come Meet the Devil. BJ came and his daughter, Charity, she's probably out in teen church. I don't know where she's at, but they both, didn't they both get saved that night? They both came and got saved that night. And I don't know how many people old BJ's told about the Lord. Amen. It sure is a blessing. They still folks praying. I'm just going to mind the Lord this morning. Brother Todd, sing us. You got something to sing? Let's just mind God this morning.
I started a journey
many
years ago, looking for rest and peace for my soul. I started.
Hallelujah.
It's satisfied then and gets better each day. And I think I'll just to go with God.
Yeah, hallelujah.
For looking back my way, I don't see a lot. With Him there is joy.
Yeah, hallelujah. Pretty good advice, don't you think? Think I'll just go with God. Take your Bible and go to John chapter number 19. Don't look at your watch, look at your book. I'll look at the watch. I know it's 5 minutes till 11. four exits west. Amen. I won't be long. I'll tell you like Liz Taylor told her first husband, I won't keep you long. Sermon will be like a fat boy crawling through a barbed wire fence, just about 3 points, and I'll be through. Amen. John chapter number 19, I do want to share a verse of Scripture with you and a simple thought this morning. Probably one of the most sacred verses of Scripture in the entire Bible. John chapter 19, if you're familiar with your Bible, you already know where we are. We're at Calvary. How many of you know what Calvary means? That's the place where Jesus suffered and died for our sins. That's where the blood was shed. But got Tyler in this morning. But it still has me in this morning. It has you in if you're saved this morning. Verse number 30. The Bible said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, if you remember, they did this in a mockery. He's hanging on the cross, he's suffering, he's bleeding, he's dying for me and for you. And he cried out, I thirst. So they offered him vinegar mingled, the Bible said, with gall. That's the nasty fluid that comes out of your gallbladder. And they put it on a sponge or a towel and they held it to his mouth. I'm talking about the one who saved you. I'm talking about the one who saved me this morning. That ought to stir your soul. He could have stopped it right then and right there. There would have been an end to all the suffering, all the pain. The Bible said he could have called those 10,000s of angels and they'd have came to his aid right then and there. He didn't say a word. Watch the last part of the verse. And he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Earlier, he made this statement, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What's finished? What's the job that is done? Salvation for you? Salvation for me and for the entire human race. That's what was finished. The greatest job, the greatest work that's ever been done, ever has been done, or ever will be done, we've just read right here. Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is finished, he said. It's done. Somebody said, what have I got to do to be saved? Nothing. Just trust what has already been done. There's no earning it. There's no working for it. There's certainly no deserving it. All I've got to do is believe what he said and trust what he's already done. Hallelujah. If I had to earn it, what could I do? Amen. To earn heaven, to deserve heaven, what could you do? Would Bill Gates' money buy you in? Why, what we pave our streets with asphalt. The Lord paves his with pure gold. Did you know I just learned several months ago or maybe a year or so ago, I'd never heard this before, but I have read in the Bible where the streets are gold as clear as crystal. How many of you seen, that ain't gold, that's silver. How many of you have seen clear gold? Nobody. Nobody. Do you know what scientists have figured out? Gold in its purest form as clear as crystal. How about that? Because of this statement, I'm going there. Because of this statement, Jeremy's nephew is going there. Because of this statement, Jeremy's sister, who was brutally murdered just a week or so ago, she's already there. Oh, yeah. And she's watching the service this morning, and our loved ones that are gone are watching the service this morning. And because of this statement, they're saying, come on home, guys, come on home. It won't be long. There's going to be a family reunion that's going to be out of this world because it is finished. This morning, just for a couple of minutes. Couple means when I get done. For a couple of minutes this morning, I want to talk about Calvary. The cross of Calvary. It's a symbol. You see it all over the place. You see it on steeples. You see it on necklaces. You see it everywhere. The cross of Calvary. What that cross stands for, that is Christianity's symbol. Everybody who wears a cross around their neck, whether they in their heart or not, but outwardly they are professing that they believe Jesus died on that cross to save their sin. Amen. Can I present to you this morning that the cross is the focal point of this entire book? Everything in this book. We've got preachers in America who preach everything but the cross. Everything but the cross. They preach about anxiety, and they preach about depression, and they preach about all these things and try to self-help and get people pumped up and get people motivated and try to make people feel better about their self. Can I just say to you this morning, I never felt better about myself till I came to the cross of Calvary and I met the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the cross where business is taken care of. It's the cross where sins are forgiven. It's the cross where souls are saved. It's the cross where marriages are put back together. It's at the cross where children are raised in a godly home. At the cross. Let me give you four or five thoughts this morning. We'll go to the house. I want you to know this morning, I'm going to leave a bunch of stuff out. But I want you to know the cross is the focal point of the entire Bible. Some people think it's about the end of the world in the book of the Revelation. They think the Bible's focal point is about the tribulation. They think the Bible's focal point is about creation, whether we evolved or whether God spoke and it was. That's not the focal point. The focal point of the Word of God is the cross of Calvary. Everything in this Bible. Let me just tell you this morning, the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that is Matthew through Malachi. In the Old Testament, they've got 66 books in this Bible. In the Old Testament, everything shows us a picture of Calvary. A picture of Calvary from the very opening of the Word of God in Genesis chapter number 3. We see where man's sin, from the fall of man, we saw where man's sin and blood was shed that it might cover their sin. That is the first picture of Calvary in the Bible. And all through that Bible. Let me just show you Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. In Genesis, He's the ram at Abraham's altar. Abraham is on the way up the hill to sacrifice his son because God had told him to. And as Abraham drew his hand to take his son's life and to sacrifice him unto God, there was a ram on the other side of the hill, and that ram was the sacrificial ram that took the place of Isaac. And Jesus was the sacrificial lamb that took the place of me and took the place of you. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. The death angel was coming through the camp, and God said, take you a lamb. Take you a lamb and sacrifice that lamb. Put the blood on the doorpost and over the door. And when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. I felt something right there. Somebody ought to shout. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hey, it's not my goodness. It's not my greatness. It's not my good works. It's the blood of Calvary. It'll cause God not to pass eternal damnation on me. In Genesis, He's the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our great high priest. In Numbers, He's a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's our city of refuge. In Joshua, He's the scarlet thread hung from Rahab's window. In Judges, He is our great judge. In Ruth, He is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He's our trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, He's our reigning king. Do you know Him this morning? Can you see the picture of Calvary this morning? In Ezra, He's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, He's the rebuilder of everything that's broken. And in Esther, He's the Mordecai sitting faithful at the gate. In Job, He's our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, He's my shepherd, and I shall not want.
In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. The Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's a suffering servant. In Jeremiah and Lamentation, it is Jesus that is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the midst of a fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's my love that is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In old Obadiah, he's our Savior. And Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary that takes the gospel to the whole world. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is our avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord, mighty to save. In Haggai, he's the restorer of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our foundation. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, the Bible says, with healing in his wings. Amen. Everything in this Old Testament points to Calvary. Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you been to Calvary? There's an old song Brother Wayne Ball used to sing in our church. He's in heaven now. That he and his wife would come, and he'd get his guitar and he'd sing, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be." That's right. Have you been to Calvary? I want you to picture it this morning. We can't see it with a physical eye, but we can see it in our hearts this morning. Can you see him hanging on the cross with nails through each hand, nails through his feet, crown of thorns on his head? His clothes has been stripped from his body. He's totally nude. He's beaten to a bloody pulp. The Old Testament said his visage was marred. His visage, that means his features, his face, what he looked like, was marred more than any man. Can you see him this morning? Get a good look. The Hebrew writer said, but we see Jesus. We want to see him in a manger. We like to see him on his throne. But before we're ever saved, we need to see him on his cross. Amen. And get a good picture of what he did for you. All that he did for you. The Old Testament shows us a great picture of the cross. Psalms chapter number 22 describes the cross of Calvary as much as Matthew does. Amen. He suffered and he bled and he died for me and you. In the Old Testament, we see the pictures of the cross. In the New Testament, we get to see the person of the cross. Let me say it again. In the New Testament, we not only know it's no longer pictures. It's no longer a travel brochure. It's no longer something that's coming in the future. In the New Testament, it's not something that we're waiting for. He's here. The angels came where the shepherds were abiding in the field and keeping watch over their sheep by night. And they said, "For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior." Hallelujah. No longer a picture, but now we have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was baptizing in the old muddy River Jordan one day, and he looked up and Jesus was coming down the road, and he introduced him like this. He said, "Boys, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Bible said God became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was Jesus? Who was the person of Jesus Christ? The Mormons, they say he was a good man. Could be our future president, believes he's Lucifer's brother. I wonder how many Mormons even know what they teach. Y'all okay? Joel Osteen said any Mormon who believes in Christ is a good Christian. Joel Osteen ought to learn a little something. Amen. They believe he's Lucifer's brother. This world has many thoughts about Christ. Who was he? Was he really just a good man? The Jehovah's Witness said he was a prophet. Yeah, he was. He was a prophet. But he was more than that. It doesn't stop at good man, which he was. In him dwelleth no sin. He was a good man, as perfect as any man could ever be on top side of this earth. The only sin that was ever in his life or in his heart or in his body was my sin and your sin. He had none. He was perfect. That's who he was. Who was Jesus Christ? Good man, yes. Prophet, yes. All those things, yes. But more than that, he was God in the flesh. Jesus was a man, but just as much as he was a man, he was God embodied in the flesh, just like me and you. God became flesh and dwelt among us as he walked the lowly streets of Nazareth. As he sat and had a meal with his friends in Bethany, he was the creator of the heavens and the earth. He was the author of the Word of God. Matter of fact, he said he was the Word of God. The pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see the person of the cross. You see, when he bowed his head and said, "It is finished," that was God. You say, if he was God, who was he talking to? God. You said, "I don't understand that." God's three people. So are you. The Bible said, God said, let's make man in our own image. Body, soul, and spirit. All right? God the Son said to God the Father, "It is finished." And God the Holy Spirit said, "Good job." The person of Christ. Who was he? He was a good man. He was a prophet. He was not Lucifer's brother. He was God's only begotten Son, according to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Amen. The person of Christ. In the Old Testament, we see the pictures of the cross. In the New Testament, we see the person of the cross. And I hope this is okay because I'm leaving a bunch of stuff out. But in Acts, we see the power of the cross. The power of the cross. The cross, if it ended at Calvary, we'd have no hope. If Calvary was the end, if nothing came after Calvary, but something did come after Calvary. Something did come after Golgotha. There was that first Easter morning when Mary and Martha went down to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, as was their custom, to put spices so they wouldn't smell. And as they approached the tomb, they saw that the stone was rolled away. And they said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Oh, good God, for he's not here, for he is risen." Woo! Thank God for the power of the cross. Jesus said, "Ye may take my life, or I may lay my life down." He said, "But I have power to take it up again." He said in John, "To as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." What did it take for you to be saved? What did it take for me to be saved? It was the wonder-working power of the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Thank God for the power of the cross. It was the power of the cross that saved my soul, but it's been the cross that kept my family intact. It's been the power of the cross that's answered every prayer that I've prayed. It's been the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Y'all listen to me this morning. It's the power of the cross. It's got Ashley sitting there, cancer-free, carrying a baby that it said she could never have. I feel like something. Shouting, hollering, clicking my heels over my head, running up and down the aisle. That's the power of God, friend. We've got churches trying to operate outside of that realm. It won't work. If we do not have the power of God, we're just an organization. We're just a club. We're just a group that gets together and sings. We're a cult outside the power of God. But thanks be to God for his wonder-working power. He said, "For I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." I do not claim to have powers like some of these TV preachers do. I cannot blow in your face or bop you on the head and cause miraculous things to happen in your body. I wish I could. Brother Atkins, I do. I remember when I first got saved, I said, "God, if that's real, I want to be able to do that." I would put Children's Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, out of business. I would close them down today if I had that power, and so would them crackpots on TV. If you've got the power to heal, why don't you go to that hospital? They ain't a baby girl down there with the hair burn off her head from chemotherapy and her eyebrows burn off her face from radiation that would not love a visit from somebody with that kind of power. I think if they really have that kind of power, they should be put in jail for murder. Mass murder. Because with all that power they claim to have in their golden fingers, they're allowing millions of children to suffer and die. I'm getting on somebody's nerves this morning. Fact is, they do not have that power. But I know somebody who does. I know somebody who does. When they diagnosed Ashley with cancer and they said, "We've got to go in and take this tumor out of your neck and we're going to have to take that baby boy. We're going to have to take him early." My first prayer, "God, get that baby here, okay? Get that baby here." You know what he prays every day? He prays for me. I remember a day when I was praying for him that God had let me know him and God had let me see him and God had let me hold him. He did that. I said, "God, I can't do this, but you can." Then we begin to pray, "God, touch the cancer." And then the cancer spread from throat to lungs to liver to brain to all over. And we said, oh God, this is so far beyond us." And God said, "Got you covered." "God, the doctors don't know what it is." He said, "I do." He said, God, I don't understand." He said, "It's for my glory." The power of the gospel. In the epistles, that'd be Romans through near Revelation. How about that? In the epistles, we see the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know what these New Testament writers, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I'm all through here. You know what they preached? The cross. That was their message. I thought about the greatest revivalist of our time. Some of you are going to get sideways with me right here. It's Dr. Billy Graham. One of the greatest Americans, in my opinion, who ever lived. I said it, and I'm on the radio, and I don't care who don't like it. Amen. He did more for God than you'll ever think about doing. Amen. Did he get rid of his Bible? Yes, he did. Did he go a different direction? Yes, he did. But when he was right, millions came to Christ. You know what he preached? Do you know what he preached? The cross. The cross of Calvary. He would stand in coliseums and baseball and football stadiums, and he'd take that Bible and he'd say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It was just the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches have strayed so far from it. They talk about a social gospel. What is that? What is a social gospel? That phrase, they use that phrase, you hear it all the time. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's social gospel. I think it's a gospel that's supposed to suit everybody. It's supposed to fit this demographic. It's supposed to fit the gays and the black and the, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all okay? It's seeker friendly. Seeker friendly. Jesus is seeker friendly. He said, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. The power of the cross, the preaching, the person, the pictures of the cross. I got to quit. But in Revelations, turn there and I'll shut up. Revelations chapter number 1. And I'm done. How long has it been since you've seen a good picture of Calvary? Several years ago, and please don't misunderstand, I'm not a Mel Gibson fan. I'm not a Hollywood fan. But Mel Gibson did that movie about the Passion of the Christ. Y'all remember that? Anybody see it? I got to go to the movie theater with Sister Stephanie. She was the manager there, and I got to go and preview the movie before anybody else saw it. And I've always had a picture in my mind of what Calvary was. The Catholics, they have him still hanging on a cross. He has a little crown of thorns on his head and has a little blood running down his face. And you look at it and you go, oh, that wasn't what it was. If Mel Gibson ever did anything right in his life, I believe it was the picture he showed America and the world of what Jesus did for us. Have you got a picture of him this morning? Can you see him? Suffering, dying, bleeding for you? The Old Testament is the pictures of the cross. The New Testament, the person of the cross. In Acts, we see the power of the cross. In the epistles, we see the preaching of the cross. The Bible said, how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody said, I don't like preaching. It kept me out of hell. Amen. And it'll keep you out of hell. The gospel's there, but somebody's got to tell it. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I like it when people think I'm crazy. That means I'm doing God's job. Amen? Because that's what he said. They're going to say you're crazy. Revelations chapter number 1 and verse 17 and 18, and I'm done. I want you to see the purpose of the cross. Not only the pictures and the person and the power and the preaching, but I want you to see the person of Calvary. John said, and when I saw him, stop right there just for a second. When I saw him. I'm going to get to say that one day. When Jesus ascended into heaven after the resurrection, there was an angel that came and spoke to the disciples and said, Why stand ye here staring up in amazement? He said, this same Jesus will come again. Paul said, now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. Boy, I've had a spiritual touch, but what about a physical one? Won't that be something? Amen. Saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. You don't run into many people who can say that, do you? He said, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Then he backs up and amens himself. He said, and have the keys of hell and of death. The purpose of Calvary. If there's any other way to heaven, why did he have to die? Amen. If we could really work for it and earn it, why Calvary? If we could really pedal a bicycle for a few years out of our life, and pedal Watchtower magazines all over the country. If we could really earn heaven, why Calvary? If there was another way. But there was no other way. Because the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And there was only one blood, pure enough to take care of you and to take care of me. Tyler's going to leave here this morning without something he came in with. He came in with a past. Y'all listening? But he's leaving without that thing this morning. Oh, his co-workers may remember some stuff, and his wife may remember some stuff, and his family may remember some stuff, but Jesus said it's all under the blood. All I can see is the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah, the purpose of the cross is that you and I, here's the purpose wrapped up in one verse. You can quote it. You know it as well as I do. For God so loved the world. We've got a crowd out there today, and some of them are my friends. But they say that that's past tense. God doesn't love sinners anymore. Said he so loved. That means, if God didn't love you, friend, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. You'd be in hell where you ought to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come this morning. Sing a verse if you would. While they're coming, I wonder if it'd be okay if we just bowed our heads together this morning. I know what time it is. I didn't preach a long time. They sang a long time. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We'll have you out of here, but listen, more important than the song service this morning, more important than the preaching this morning, is where we are right now. This is your opportunity and my opportunity to respond to what we've heard this morning. I've tried to briefly take you to Calvary this morning, show you what Jesus did for you. Did you see the picture of the cross? Do you know the person of the cross? Have you experienced the power of the cross? Do you understand the preaching of the cross? Do you get a grip on the purpose of the cross? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around this morning. I wonder, is there one here today who'd say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died right now, if heaven would be my home." If you can really know that in your heart, and the Bible does say these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Preacher, I'm not sure that if I died right now, heaven would be my home. If you can really know that, I'd like to have that settled in my heart. Please pray for me. If you just slip up your hand, I wouldn't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. How about it? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody? How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. No doubt in my mind, if I fall over graveyard dead right now, you preach my funeral, tell my family I'm in heaven. Ain't no doubt in my mind. But preacher, I need to get that cross back into view. I need to get that cross back into view. I've taken for granted what God has done for me, and I need to be more thankful for Calvary, for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed my sin. Pray for me, preacher, that I'd keep that thing in the forefront. God bless your heart. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Lord, you've done more this morning before I ever opened my mouth than I could ever even dream to do. And God, we give you glory for that. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Jeremy's nephew. Lord, he's going to leave here today going to heaven when he dies. Hallelujah. Thank you for Tyler, Lord. We prayed for him every day this week. And Lord, you just graciously saved his soul this morning. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for those in the jail, and Lord, that society don't care about. But Lord, I'm so glad you do. I'm so glad you love sinners. Lord, if you didn't, we'd all be in a mess. Lord, you saw every hand that was raised. You know every heart. God, just to deal with us accordingly. And again, Lord, just let us say thanks for Calvary. For every stripe was laid across your back. For every thorn that pierced your brow. Thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve it. I can't earn it. I can't pay you back. Lord, I can say thank you. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.